Is this, I can't, is this season four, Ray? I can't remember.
Season three.
Yeah. I get confused.
I didn't say it last time, maybe? I don't remember.
No, we always say it. And I do wonder about this. The straws, the badgers, might there be a topic for this week's show?
I don't think this one has a topic per se. But
per se was good, remember? Per se?
Yeah.
Yeah, and per se and.
That's and still, per se and.
It's still one of my favorites.
It's a good one.
No, yeah.
And per se and is great. Oh, I spoiled it.
Yeah.
Badger grasping, get the ball.
We're doing it though.
Yeah.
So whatever this is, we're gonna go for it.
Motion.
No reason not to.
Yeah.
Badger, man, I'm a little jealous because that one sounded, it's just fun to say, hey, I'm going to badger you about this.
Do you want me to go first?
And you just wonder about, you know, Hey, why a badger? Why not a weasel or a, hey, Jim's groundhogging me about this paperwork. Like, what is that?
It's got some stuff. Do you want me to go first?
Is that your first good one?
I was going to roll with that one first. In my sequence of two, it's the first one on my paper.
All right, do that.
I say paper.
Yeah.
It's, on my pixels.
Yeah, you do the iPad, I do the paper.
No, I got the whole appy. I got a laptop.
Well, whatever.
Old school.
I thought you had that magic pencil and you wrote on the iPad.
I do, but I like to go back to my roots.
Jeez, All right, would you do it? Go ahead and do badger.
Hey, quit badgering me.
I'm badgering you.
Stop badgering
me.
Don't subject me to persistent harassment or persecution or ply me with repeated and irritating requests to do something.
That's it.
I love the thoroughness of the OED dictionary, of the OED definitions.
Yeah, because OED dictionary was a redundant department.
Yes. Jay, have you ever seen a show called The Simpsons?
Once or twice I've caught this, yeah.
Whenever someone says badger, I think of the episode A Tale of Two Springfields. Just an opening scene, literally under the opening credits, or title credits. There's still real titles, you know. Bart goes out to the doghouse to feed Santa's little helper, and he finds this badger in the doghouse and not Santa's little helper. So the kids are out there looking at the doghouse, and they're sitting there out front of it. So Homer comes out, sits on the ground, and says, what's going on? TV broken? And they're like, no, there's a badger in there. And he says, badger my ass. It's probably Milhouse. And then he, like, sticks his head in and gets mauled by this badger. It's just a funny aside.
Yeah, I like when they get mauled.
Yeah. Badger my ass. It's probably Milhouse. I don't know. I was laughing. I sent it to a few friends last night. So yeah, badgers. They are small mammals with little wedge-shaped bodies, broad feet, and long claws.
Huh.
They have coarse hair that has they can be black, brown, gold, or white. I've seen just a black and white combo before. Like, I haven't seen them, but pictures of the ones I've seen.
Right, kind of look like
almost skunky,
a badger.
But not. No, I don't believe I have.
Yeah, me either.
I've seen possums and groundhogs and stuff, but not badgers.
Sure.
I don't believe they're around our parts.
Come on.
Are they? They could be. They are part of the largest order of mammals.
Weasel family.
Known as the carnivores. They are rodents. Yeah, weasels. They're in with weasels, minks, ferrets, wolverines. They're members of the Mustelidae creature set.
All right, we'll go with that.
Yeah. Which, like I said, includes wolverines, weasels, otters, minks, and ferrets. If you are looking up symbolism about badgers, perhaps you had a dream about a badger, or a badger was in your dream. One might say, badgers are loners in solitary. They teach us to be self-reliant and comfortable with ourselves. Bold and ferocious when cornered, though, badgers remind us to never surrender.
Don't give up
like a badger.
What's the dream business?
Yeah, if you have a dream about a badger, that's the personality traits. Bold and ferocious when cornered. Badger reminds us to never surrender.
But
what?
No, that's cool.
Yeah.
I don't subscribe to that Freudian idea that a thing means the same thing for everybody in the dream world. So
sure.
You know, a badger might be something different from me altogether.
Yeah. Well,
you know?
I'm saying symbolism, but more broad. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Anyway, mm-hmm. we got a nice... some early quotes, 1782, in the work Paris in Miniature. Paris is the only place where it can support any kind of consequence, though even there, sorely badgered by the wits of the capital, who point all their epigrammatical batteries against their members. So, 1785, we're getting a dictionary from friend of the pod.
Christine Ammer.
No. Though, I think one of my favorite friends, Mr. Gross of the Classical Dictionary of the Vulgar Tongue.
Well, sure.
1785, he defines it as badger, to confound, perplex, or tease. So that's 1785. If you keep looking back, you get to a 1600 quote. This quote, which I found to be odd. I'm like, well, what does this mean? Geoffrey Trafford did not badger for these 2 years past. You're like, what? What does that mean? He didn't badger for these 2 years past, 1600s. What is this? He wasn't annoying people for 2 years? Well, yeah. What does that mean?
Good
well,
for him.
Right. Great guy. Good guy, Geoffrey Trafford. But it seems that back in the day of these times, 1600s, 1500s, 1400s, a badger, capital B, is a trader who buys produce and carries it elsewhere to sell. A hawker, a huckster, a peddler, a dealer, a trader.
Go home.
Yeah. No, this was, I thought this was amusing. Which comes from the term badge, which, again, at these times means to buy up provisions for resale. Hawk for sale. 1610, all the inhabitants be, as it were, a kind of huckster or badger. 1552, the buying of any corn, fish, butter, or cheese by any such badger, ladder, kidder, or carrier.
Yeah.
And there wasn't even like a 1460s quote about badgers in Middle English, which I constantly fail to grasp how to say things. So it was a 1460s quote that said badger in the selling way of a seller. So that's, I don't know, I feel strongly that that is the definition.
And it comes
those ways of an actual badge. A badger is someone who sells something. Maybe they were pestering you.
Yeah, so over-hawking.
Hawking, right, exactly. There is, I have to go into the other side, of or another theory that's posed out there a lot. Essentially, there's this, I guess, horrible torture practice that happened in England. It's been illegal since the 1830s, but it has apparently still happened as recently as 2018, I saw. It's called badger baiting, and essentially they kind of like trap a badger in something, and then they toss dogs in the thing, and you know.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's illegal, but again, it still happens, as things do.
People are idiots.
Yeah, and a lot of folks say that this was kind of maybe, you know, to badger someone was to get them out of a thing, to work them out of their hiding spot, to kind of annoy them and pester them so they came out and then whatever. But these other ways predate what I could see as possible like origins of this. This was, you know, it seemed like 1800s, but maybe a little bit further back. But I couldn't find like a start date for that to see if it rivals the 1460s or 1550s. I did not see that for sure. Mm. There's also a thought of maybe it came from something called the badger game, which is probably unrelated. But is basically just a honeypot scam. The mark is lured into some kind of, you know, compromising blackmail situation.
Yeah, by a confidence team.
Right, by a confidence woman or a confidence team, exactly. And they say that one may be more directly tied to the badger baiting of England, of the torture practice. But the, you know, because... These other ones are predate that time. The Folk Etymology Dictionary, published in 1883, says that badger was originally barter, to haggle, kind of from an old English badger, beggar, buy, you know what I mean? Which I feel reinforces the language origin of it.
Yeah, and probably cross-pollinates with the hawker, the seller.
Right. Yeah, yeah. It all works that way. The slang jargon in Kant Dictionary is, says, badger is slang for overdrawing one's bank account. It's very specific. Mm. That was from 1800s too. But yeah, badger is a reseller, a hawker, a carrier. And I mean, you know, that could relate back to trading. I mean, if you were a hunter and traded pelts and things like that, you might have badger pelts.
Yeah,
I found nothing that said that.
Right,
I'm just saying, like, you could see.
It's probably more like, hey, you want to buy this? Hey,
yeah,
you sure you don't want to buy this? Hey, you want to buy this?
right. No, that's a it feels. But also the old English kind of bringing it through, buy, beg, buy, badge. You know,
right.
It's not a barter. It's not totally removed from a literal sense, perhaps.
Well, I have grasping at straws.
Nice.
I know.
Yes.
I never thought much about this one, you know?
No, I mean, yeah, right. That's the idioms. They're part of us. We know what they mean, but we don't know why. That's why we're here.
Right.
Yeah.
But we say it, you know?
Right.
But, yeah, why I really would, thought much about it.
What straws am I grasping?
And why am I grasping at or for
right.
these straws?
Right.
I always, in my brain, would imagine, I guess, if part of me thought about it for a second while I was using it, I would think about like that merry-go-round where you grab rings. I never had that experience as a kid, but I see it in movies and shows and stuff. You know what I mean?
I do not.
Like there's a child, like you go around on the horse on the mm-hmm. merry-go-round,
yeah.
but they stick these little golden rings out that you got to snag with your finger or maybe a stick, I don't know. And
no.
then if the kid gets it, you know, you get like a little prize or something,
huh.
but it's hard to get, I guess. You know, they make it a challenge.
Huh.
But that has nothing to do with it.
Oh, okay. No golden rings here.
No. Really, when we use that grasping at straws, we it's like, how do you say, I didn't want to go to the movie that my wife wanted to go to, so I told her that my brother was coming over to help work on the car, but he wasn't. I was just grasping at straws, trying to find an excuse not to go to the movie. I don't know. Something like this.
Yeah. You're at the end of the rope.
I got nothing else. You got nothing else.
Got nothing else.
This is what you came up with? Your brother's working on the car?
Hey, come on. I'm grasping at straws over here.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's a use it in a sentence. That Jerry is so phony. That's that. Use it in a sentence.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Here's a funny thing that came up also, because you say, well, straws, you say.
Yeah. Right. Like the bendy straws, curly straws.
Well, see,
those ones that are shaped
thing.
Like glasses that you can wear.
But let's not think of it like that.
What?
Let's think of it more in its root origin, or what is straw like versus what is hay?
Dried because, grass.
Okay, hay is dried grass.
Okay.
Hay you would use for all sorts of things, including, you know, feeding your horse or whatever, you know?
Yeah, right. Bed.
You stuff it in a sack and
make it
into a mattress.
We use straw for mattresses, or do we use hay? Sorry.
So
am I jumping ahead?
No, well, I mean, it turns out the straw
yeah.
ends up being a more of a hollow shaft and sort of more useless
okay.
for those other purposes.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't feed straw to a creature because it has no substance. You know, it's sort of hollow.
Hollow. Like
but
a
hay
straw.
Is dried grass, so it has substance.
It's got the grass bits in the middle.
Yeah.
All right.
So
it makes sense now.
But you never think about it because we don't have to.
No, right. Why would you?
Well, I mean, someone in Nebraska or Idaho may take affront to us saying, why would we? They might think about it every day.
Well, personally, me, right. No.
But us in
someone.
The city,
sure.
We don't
yeah.
think about it.
No.
But yeah, and therefore the straw that you drink from
yeah.
is hollow.
Right.
You don't drink from hay.
No, you can't. There's grass bits
we
in
didn't
there.
Decide to call that tube
hay.
A hay.
Give me a bendy hay.
Yeah.
Can you give me a curly hay real fast?
I'm using that new metal hay that I could ream out and recycle it so I don't use more plastic hays.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't do that.
No. Sounds crazy.
Right. I'm very taken by some of this, and I'm going to tell you more about why. All right, dude.
Yeah, great.
Oh, yes, please.
I'm pumped.
It's, for one thing, straw being, you know, it's been around with us for quite a while as a word. You know, 13th century, it's true. Just because you say it different, that makes it old?
Hmm.
No, they had an E in there, S-T-R-E-A-W, straw.
Hmm.
I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah, I do. Now, I wasn't at first, but no, I got you now.
You thought I just lost my mind.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about hay. I'm like, that's a weird jump.
Right.
Straw.
So this idea was put together by a fellow, Thomas More, concocted this thing.
Okay.
So we know where it came from.
Yeah.
This fellow, Thomas More, had been thrown into prison by King Henry VIII. There's some business about Thomas More wouldn't go along with some of King Henry's shenanigans.
Yeah, yeah.
So he throws him in jail.
Yes.
But Thomas More was a writer and somehow was able to have parchment and quill in his imprisonment and took to writing quite a significant book.
Mm-hmm.
This book is known as, I always love these, Dialogue of Comfort Against Tribulation.
Nice.
Where he had concocted a fictional dialogue between this fellow Vincent and his uncle Anthony. And Anthony went on to school a reluctant Vincent throughout the course of this book. It's basically a religious sort of tome about finding comfort against duress within God. And it seems Vincent is pretty concerned here. They were in Hungary and concerned about this Ottoman invasion and war. And so he goes to Anthony, his uncle, and says, I'm terrified, yada, yada. And Vincent says, "Hey, you know, you're gonna die. You just have to chill out and have your faith that everything's gonna be groovy." Vincent takes some reassuring, as you might imagine, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, he's not just So it's a long book trying to reassure.
Die, you know, it's gonna happen.
Yeah, he doesn't really like this idea. one of the quotes out of this 1534 work by Thomas More being, a man in peril of drowning catchest whatsoever cometh next to hand, be it never so simple a stick, a straw. So you're drowning.
Yeah.
And you know, reaching.
Yeah, you're flailing around, going to grab whatever.
Yeah.
I got you.
And weirdly enough, in some sort of overtly plagiaristic way, in 1748, Samuel Richardson, in his book, just yoinked it, thinking, well, no one's reading books from the 1500s. I read this book. I'll just use this guy's stuff. And he uses it grabbing at straws. Bob's attempt to build a case that the contract was not valid because it contained a split initiative was just grasping at straws. Yeah.
First one's more poetic.
Quite. Plus, it's not plagiarized that we know of.
Sure, right. As best we can tell.
But grasping at straws, and there's a bunch of versions of it, clutching at straws, catching for straws. But however you slice it, it comes up peanuts. I always like that one. It always confuses you.
Yeah, what?
It's that Snickers commercial. But
how clever.
Yeah. That's where it comes from. There's no mystery, just history.
Yeah.
So having enjoyed that, let's continue on with our regularly scheduled program.
Well, I'll just get the ball rolling here on the second half.
Get the ball rolling?
Get the ball rolling.
Oh, I had no idea.
Get the
ball. The way you just lobbed it in there.
Rolling. Yeah, I had an actual transition.
Oh, it was a good. It was so good. I just thought you were just talking.
Right. So natural, not shoehorned in at all.
No.
So unlike me.
So unlike you. Sorry, no, I didn't mean that.
No, it's quite all right. Please.
No, go ahead.
I know who I am.
That seemed cold.
Not at all. I'm aware. to get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
What would you say if I said, hey, Jay, what do you think I mean if I say, get the ball rolling on this meeting?
That means, you know, somebody started off here and introduce the reason we're here.
Yeah.
And talk about what we're going to cover during this meeting.
Exactly. Someone start this off. Would you like to get the ball rolling? I'd love to. Or whatever you'd say. Maybe you wouldn't. We've got a 1770s quote. The papers of Sir William Johnson just says, and so the ball is to be kept rolling. It's kind of an early usage. Kept rolling is something that sort of pops in as, I don't know if it's a sister phrase. I guess it's a child phrase. Get the ball rolling gives birth to keep the ball rolling.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. So why are we using this ball to roll to start something off? There's a lot of theories that maybe this comes from 1800s England in the game of croquet.
Croquet.
Or go back even further to 1600s France to a game called Pall Mall, which is basically proto-croquet, pre-croquet.
Croquet.
Very similar, it looked like. But I will say that we've been using this word ball, meaning a solid or hollow, spherical, or egg-shaped object, which is thrown, kicked, hit, or otherwise propelled in a game, from at least the 1200s. So, you know, to start a game, you know, maybe you would start the ball rolling, or perhaps you're going to roll a ball down a hill, or get something moving. You might use, you know, a get the ball rolling kind of phrase.
Get it going.
I'm going to get this game off to a start.
Push it into the crowd of sticks,
right,
or kickers.
Whatever ball towards a hole that we're playing, let's play that. There are these things called victory balls. Have you ever heard of the term victory balls, Jay?
No, I'm not.
Well, in the 1840s, there was this term called victory balls that was attached to American presidential campaign for William Henry Harrison. They were these balls, just big balls, 10 feet in diameter, that were made of what is reported leather and tin. And these balls were pushed from one campaign rally to the next while a crowd chanted, keep the ball rolling. And they would push this ball from city to city in the 1840s. I don't think they pushed it from city to city. They probably pushed it in, loaded it on the train, you know, got the next one.
Yeah, that's a, you really wouldn't.
You might. What else you do? No, yeah, right. You probably load it onto the campaign train, bandwagon, if you will.
Bandwagon.
And, you know, Harrison did go on to defeat Martin Van Buren, but he died almost a month after he was inaugurated, that William Henry Harrison.
Yeah, he was short-lived.
Most.
Sorry.
He died the soonest, 30. It was a month-ish after that. So why did William Henry Harrison die? You know, I don't know. But in fact, I mean, we know why he died. But like maybe it was something else that I learned about in my eighth grade history class, Mr. Santoro's history class.
Oh, I think we knew. I thought we knew.
The Curse of Tippecanoe.
Oh, yeah.
Also known as Tecumseh's Curse. Have you heard of this?
Yeah, but I forget.
It's
what
basic.
Tyler had to do with it.
Well, Tyler was, what's his name's, vice president. Harrison's. William Henry Harrison and John Tyler were on a ticket together.
Okay.
The Tippecanoe is Harrison's nickname from this Battle of Tippecanoe. So he was known as that general from that thing. But this curse basically says from William Henry Harrison and all the colonization of the Native Americans that we did, that there is this urban legend that all presidents elected in 0 years, and I believe somehow also divisible by 20, will die in office. And we've got a lot that have done just that. William Henry Harrison, 1840, Lincoln, 1860, Garfield, 1880, William McKinley, 1900s, Warren G. Harding, 1920, Franklin Roosevelt, 1940, John F. Kennedy, 1960, and Ronald Reagan got shot. I mean, honestly, like someone tried to kill him.
Yeah.
He was 1980. He got shot. So I'm going to count him to the list, even though he did not die in office. but what's his name? W made it out.
Huh.
But like I said, in 1811, the Battle of Tippecanoe, Harrison defeats Tenskwatawa, who is Tecumseh's younger brother, while he was the acting governor of the Indiana Territory. And then after that, he became known as Old Tippecanoe. And that's where you get the Tyler, too, because John Tyler was his
running mate. Sure.
But yeah, he had victory balls. And maybe that's why the balls were rolling, but you know, it's probably older than that.
It seems like it would be older than that.
Yeah, because like I said, at least the 1200s were using ball.
Stuff was always rolling.
Sure, it's how we learn about things
with sticks and things.
Sticks and rolling, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you have?
Well, it's funny you should ask.
Oh, okay. Ha.
I have one that. I almost didn't know existed.
Okay.
It's palm off. Palm.
Palm.
Palm off.
Let me palm this off on you. Oh.
Exactly. Do you know what just happened in your brain?
Yeah.
That.
Huh.
Right.
Been saying it wrong this whole time.
Yes.
Huh.
So, that's funny.
Yeah.
How your new life didn't change things. I hate the Eagles. Okay.
Oh, nice.
We're not high.
No.
No.
Just high on idioms.
Yeah. And Eagles lyrics. Yeah. So, palm off.
Yeah.
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 The term comes from the practice of what? So look, it first appeared in English in early 1800s, and it's really like about a magic, you know? You hide stuff in your hand,
yeah,
and sort of with sleight of hand,
mm-hmm,
palm things away,
yeah,
palm things off, as it were.
Yeah.
It could be used to refer to a kind of bait and switch idea where you palm off one inferior item for something someone thought they were getting something better. But you're right to say, we always say pawn off.
Right. That's what I was just, when
I'm gonna
you
pawn
said
this
it,
off
like,
on
I've
you.
I've been saying it wrong this whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, pawn this off on you.
But when you pawn something off, you aren't really trying to trick anybody. You, a pawn is an old Latin word from 13th century, derives from pignus, which meant pledge. That came about, so, you know, I'm going to leave this for you and I pledge to come back, or you can keep it. But
yeah,
you're going to give me something to have while you have that, you know?
Right.
So, not to be confused with like pawn, like a foot soldier, those other uses and definitions don't play into this, but it's more of a pledge definition. But it just isn't what we mean when we say pawn off. We shouldn't be saying pawn off most of the time.
Right.
We should really be saying palm off is what we mean.
Yeah.
And that is to like sneakily get rid of something.
Mm-hmm.
You're not taking it to the pawnbroker.
Right.
That's not how you're sneakily getting rid of it. You're doing trick of hand or fooling somebody into thinking one thing is something that it isn't, palming it off. This is like cab forward. It changes everything.
It makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
It's really like, okay. Yeah.
And so I had two that are no mystery, just history. That one comes with a little odd revelation and and extra bit of strange education. I'm sure there are a couple of other listeners out there that, like us, have been using it wrong. And we really don't ever have to use pawn off, maybe, unless you actually went to the pawnbroker.
I practice palming stuff sometimes.
Sure, you're going to palm off a lot of things.
Yeah, I just like keeping things hidden in my palm. Like I do, I know. Like I'm not saying I know magic. I'm saying I know the term, and I try to do that sometimes.
Magic with a Y.
Like keep a card hidden in my hand somehow, you know?
Sure.
That's it. Yeah, that's, wow. So I've been definitely using that phrase wrong, or saying the wrong words, really.
So we've palmed this off as another episode.
Another episode palmed off on you.
Late to boot. Yeah. This week, if you're listening to it in sequence when it airs, we're sorry, it is a couple of days late.
Yeah.
Late, but better late than never.
Right.
And like we always say, please give us a rating or contact us with any of your thoughts.
Yeah.
Whole Nine Yards Pod.
Twitter, Instagram, Reddit.
Whole Nine Yards Podcast.
Facebook, Metaverse.
Ha ha. So yeah, I'm Jay.
And I am Ray.
And we're not idioms.
Whole Nine Yards is written, recorded, and produced by Big Science Pods. Learn more at wholenineyards.org or contact Whole Nine Yards by emailing heyyou@wholenineyards.org. That's heyyou@wholenumber9yards.org. Whole Nine Yards theme music composed by Big Science Music.